You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Ravens Weekly. This is episode 90. My name is Matt Hall and I'm delighted as ever to be joined by Jeff Hutton. Jeff, how are we today?
Evening all. Episode 90, can't believe that.
I know, 10 away from 100. We'll be there soon. We'll be there before we know it. And of course, surely we've got to do something special for that 100th episode. I'm sure we're going to get our thinking caps on.
Do it in a pub.
We've done that before.
Yeah, for Christmas though, aren't we?
We've done that before, haven't we? We have done that before. We're going to get started today, obviously, talking about the recent victory against Wealdstone. And that was quite an entertaining game, wasn't it, Jeff? The way that things panned out on the day. I think a few people may be expecting it to be a bit easier than it was. It was a tough game, wasn't it?
Yeah, most certainly. Like I say, I think, like you say, Matt, for us to A, go behind, then take the lead, and then for them to go down to 10 men, hand on heart, you're sitting there going, okay, here we go. And then, lo and behold, typical Bromley fashion, obviously, we go and concede. And then, yeah, to get a last-minute goal in the fashion we did, obviously. And obviously, the day being all about Dave Roberts, it was a typical Bromley, so-called easy win.
And the programmes as well, Jeff, have to touch on from that day. Obviously, like you say, winning in typical fashion that Dave Roberts would have expected us to. A wonderful programme and a lovely photo of Dave on the front, and they absolutely flew off the shelves, didn't they?
Yeah, I know. We've got a rerun underway, so I know. Check out the website shortly. There'll be some details on how you can order your programme if you weren't able to get one on a day. But yeah, no, all round a fitting day.
And some fantastic goals as well, not only from Bromley, a couple of good Wealdstone goals too, but we'll focus on the Bromley ones, of course. George Alexander, Marcus Sablier and Byron Webster, the scorers for Bromley on the afternoon. Here's how events unfolded. Forster gives it away, back to Sweeney. Sweeney thinks about the shot, goes for the pass into the box towards Maskell. Maskell keeps it in play, into the box, and it's flicked in! It's a goal! And I think that's going to go down as a Jamie Maskell goal, but Bromley are behind it. Goes long, and it's affected by the wind, that one, but Webster's there, heads it into the box, in towards Alexander. George Alexander scores! And that is a wonderful finish from George Alexander. Excellent from Byron Webster on the edge of the box, and it was a great delivery as well from Bush, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I said it had to change. I think he put a bit more angle on the free kicks of the wind and carry it through to Wickens. Brilliant knockdown by Webster. Great first touch by George Alexander and a brilliant finish into the roof of the net, and Bromley once again are level.
Riz Dyer gives it away. Sablier coming forward here. Marcus Sablier thinks about the shot, goes for the shot, and it's in! What a brilliant goal that is from Marcus Sablier, who takes it on his right foot and finds the bottom corner. What a strike! Kick here to Wealdstone, and a good opportunity for Cooper to swing one in. Cooper with the dangerous ball, it's Cook with the header and it's in! And Wealdstone are level! Jack Cook floating into the back post, nods it into the net.
Shabby wins the flick.
Matt, it seemed like yourself and Dan obviously enjoyed it up there on the gantry despite the weather.
We had all the conditions except the rain. We had the sun in our eyes, we had the wind, and we had the freezing cold as well. But it was a really entertaining game of football, and brilliant for the crowd to come down and watch. I know we had a number of our soccer school participants from the morning actually come back and support the first team. It was brilliant to see everybody once again. Great to be back at home. Of course, now we're on the road again. But a very valuable 3 points, I'm sure.
Moving on, Matt, something we've failed to do in recent episodes, to be fair, is get an in-depth player interview, sort of away from the games directly. But you put that right this week, Matt, and you managed to catch up with Joe Partington.
I did indeed, and yeah, this almost became like an audience with, or an evening with. It was brilliant. The conversation just flowed really, really nicely with Joe. We didn't necessarily plan for it to go on for as long as it did, but it was a really, really good interview. Really enjoyed doing it, and Joe's always someone
one that's very insightful and really thinks about the answers that he gives when he speaks. He's been a breath of fresh air around the place, a really, really top man. And here's my chat with him. Joe Partington, thanks for joining us today. Now, it's been a few months into your Bromley career so far, and I just wanted to backtrack a little bit for the moment. I'm sure you had plenty of clubs interested in the summer and perhaps went to see some of them. What was it that made you decide to come here?
Well, I had already reached out to... I was close with Luke Coulson from, you know, a previous relationship at Eastleigh, and I'd reached out to him at the back end of the season because obviously Bromley were doing very well. Like Eastleigh, we were sort of trying to push for the playoffs, and every time that we were winning, Bromley were winning, and it seemed that between the two of us, you know, either Eastleigh at the time or Bromley that were going to reach that last playoff spot, and obviously Bromley did in the end. So from the outside looking in, it looked like a really good group, successful, knew how to get a result, and that was something in the summer that really I was, you know, that I was drawn towards a little bit after I obviously had reached out or been reached out to by the staff, and that was something that really I wanted to be a part of. And I've enjoyed it so far. Yeah, you know, I can imagine sort of a similar position to what the guys finished in at the back end of last season. We've started off pretty well, so hopefully, you know, that we can continue that sort of what we've done well to get us results so far this season.
You joined Bromley in the summer and then back into it, back with supporters in the stadiums, which was brilliant, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, you know, the clubs, whenever I've played here as an opposing player, it's always been a special atmosphere here. The club's always, you know, been well supported. It's been difficult to get a result here for the time I've spent in this league, and that's pretty much the same now. I mean, you know, we've not got beat at home very often. No, we have recently, but it's something that we pride ourselves on being difficult to beat, certainly here. So, you know, we're a well-supported club, and there's lots of positive things going on here, and hopefully as a group of players we can contribute to that with successful results.
And something, you talk about things going on here, there is a lot of ambition, isn't there, at this club to move forward?
It certainly is. I mean, there's, you know, the people in power in the club are ambitious, successful people that have had success in you know, in previous roles in their careers, and want to bring that to this football club. And, you know, it was a massive part really of me wanting to be involved in it. I can imagine it's a big part of most of the guys who signed in the summer and the guys who decided to stay on from last season being involved in the football club. There's, you know, day to day, as you guys will see, there's a lot going on, and it's all positive. So for that, you know, it's a great place to be involved with, and it almost becomes a, you know, a little bit of responsibility to be a part of that success and to hold standards as high as possible, and to be the people that are, as a collective group of players, to push the club forward.
And touching on that again, as we walked up here pre this conversation, we looked on the pitch and you said actually you don't think you've ever seen that pitch empty, which is incredible, isn't it? It speaks volumes of the facilities that we've got here and the fantastic academy and community activities as well as the first team that it is able to facilitate.
Yeah, I mean, as all National League clubs are really, and they're huge in the local community. I've sort of seen that firsthand here at Bromley now, that people, you know, the young guys in the academy and the stuff that Ammo is doing, you know, with that side of the club is massive. And, you know, the young guys are training before us, they're training after us, you know, on an evening. The community are doing an incredible job. The ladies team obviously are doing a fantastic job. There's other clubs obviously that train and play here as well. So in terms of a facility, it's massive for this area that people are using it constantly all the time. Even on a match day, before a match day, obviously the kids are down here training. And I think that can only be a positive really, that not only is there an enormous amount of people training and using the pitch, but the kids that are around, the youth team players, obviously that there's a pathway into this first team. We've seen that with Jude and Marcus. And hopefully being around the first team or being able to walk around the pitch when we train and seeing that sort of level and the dynamic of what it's like to be a first team player is something that they can all aspire to be. And they're not that far away. I mean, they only obviously have to look at Jude and Marcus to know that that's a realistic ambition that they can have. So, I mean, it's good for them, it's good for the club. So hopefully in that respect, it's a win-win all round, really.
it's been fantastic, the level of support this season, hasn't it? And I know that it means a lot to you and to the management and the players.
It's been great. Yes, it's been great. We're looking to be a team in this league that challenges for those top positions, certainly the playoffs. And without the support of, you know, of supporters, positive support, that's not achievable, really. You've got to see, obviously, that the size of some of the clubs in this league, and we're certainly not one of the biggest, but we're punching I would argue above our weight a little bit in that respect, but we'll continue to punch and we'll continue to come into games wanting to win all of them, no matter where it is, no matter what other clubs' budgets or fan bases look like. You know, we're here to spoil people's fun this year, and we want to be one of those teams that are in contention at come the end of the season.
Well, Joe, it's been great catching up with you. Thanks for your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Great to hear from Joe there, Matt. Obviously, Joe mentioned other areas of the football club, and obviously Academy being one of them, Matt. And obviously, Thursday night, FA Youth Cup. What a night. It wasn't to be, but what a night.
It was a really, really good night, wasn't it? And first off, just talking about the crowd, actually, over 700 people here for that game, and the level of support was fantastic.
Even more on the live stream as well.
There were, yeah, around 800 people tuning in at the highest point, and since then it's gone on to get several thousand views on YouTube, which is amazing. And Bromley really went toe-to-toe with Reading on the evening, and were really unfortunate not to get anything. I mean, you look at how the game panned out, obviously Reading taking the lead, Bromley showing character to come back. They didn't deserve to go behind. Brilliant goal from Ben Crowhouse, which we're going to hear shortly. And Bromley took it to extra time, which is a massive achievement. And I just think, in the end, it's probably just that Category 1 fitness that told. But Bromley were phenomenal. And the support in the stadium, the support on the live stream was brilliant. But yeah, best of luck to Reading in the next round. It's a shame it didn't work out for Bromley. But Jeff, when you and I went to the game in this round last year at Swindon, it just wasn't even close, was it, really? This was neck and neck for pretty much the whole game.
Had their chance in the second, had the chance in the second half, and like I say, it was great to see everyone here. The chairman, Robin, John, director, Andy, Danny, Roger, Brandon, everyone was here, weren't they? Literally,
Aaron Webster as well,
everyone.
Yeah.
A couple of players, yeah. I think Joe was there as well.
Joe Partington.
So yeah, it was great really to see so many of the club all out in force to back the young lads, and so close. Honestly, it could not have been any closer. It was. Gutting. It was absolutely gutting towards the end for the players who were involved. But take nothing away from an absolutely incredible achievement yet again for the second year in a row to get to the third round. Obviously that potential tie with Man United in the next round, obviously, I'm sure would have been in everyone back of everyone's minds as well. But no, honestly, an absolutely fantastic effort on the night. And like you say, for the fans, over 700 there on the night, and it was awful.
Weather was terrible.
Rain had everything. But yeah, special shout out to obviously Jamal, Steve, Neil, all the coaching staff, everybody at the academy, and obviously the players who've made an immense sacrifice these last couple of weeks. You've just seen the level of detail they've gone into across the board in terms of preparing for this game. And like you say, Matt, if you're a neutral, you turned up and you didn't know anything about either side, you'd struggle to tell apart which one was a Category 1 EFL Academy.
Unbelievable, and best of luck to the team going forward. I know that pretty much all of these players are in the under-23s as well, so I'm sure we'll keep you posted on their development. Let's take a quick look back then at the highlights of the evening, which was, of course, the goal from Ben Crowhouse. And throwing for Bromley here is another member of the coaching staff, Neil Salmon, comes out to retrieve the ball. Here's Nicholas, back to Porter. Porter's going to clear it long here, and does. Crowhouse making the run. It's actually a really good clearance from Porter. Crowhouse looks like he's going to get there. He does. Ben Crowhouse into the box. He's got Cader in support. Can he pull it back? No, he doesn't need to. Ben Crowhouse strolls into the box, breezes off the challenge, and finds the bottom corner. And Bromley are level.
A really special night, Matt. Disappointing, but I'm sure we'll live long in the memories of all those involved. Moving on, Matt, to our favourite subject, community.
Indeed. Half camp. I'm going into this. I'm not getting a little intro. So at the football club here at the Community Sports Trust, we are really delighted to be hosting a winter sports camp for those eligible for free school meals, and it's actually going to be free for those pupils. So we're really, really excited. We've partnered up with the Bromley Children and Families Forum, who have been brilliant in supporting us to be able to do this, and the local authority as well. And we're really excited. It's going to run over 4 days, from the 20th to the 23rd of December inclusive, and it's going to be all kinds of football and sport activities. There's going to be guest speakers coming down, some exciting ones, and some of our own club staff are going to get involved in doing some talks for the kids as well. So really, really exciting, and I know that our team of coaches... I wasn't available on this occasion, but... Yeah, must be due to high demand. But yes, it's going to be really, really exciting, and the coaches and everybody else are looking forward to it, as are we. So yeah, bring it on. And there's some other news on the community front, Jeff, as well.
I was going to say, Matt, obviously talking about working with the local authority and projects that we've got going on, we're obviously delighted to be hosting a COVID-19 booster vaccination centre. Is that what we're calling it? Drop-in?
Yeah.
It's a drop-in day, Sunday the 19th.
Correct.
It's going to be in our venue suite. It's going to be 10 till 4, and it's for all of those who are eligible to get their COVID booster, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Over 18s, yeah, and those overdue a booster, I think, as well.
Yeah, Matt, we've obviously been liaising with the local authority since the pandemic began, really, with regards to how we can help, etc. But actually, this came about thanks to Bromley fan Heather Bruce.
The legend that is Heather Bruce. Yes, she put us in touch with Neil at the local clinical commissioning group, who got this all sorted with us, didn't he? So, yeah, thank you to Heather and Neil, and I'm sure it'll be a fantastic event on the day.
Yeah, all the details are over on the website. And talking about the venue suite, Matt, our exec club has obviously been sold out almost for every game this season so far. And I know you've managed to obviously catch up with Emma.
I did, yeah. So something a little bit different for you today. It's always great to hear from people behind the scenes at the football club as well. And some of you might be wondering what the exec club is, how you might want to book a table, etc. So Emma was on hand to answer all of those questions. Okay, then, on Ravens Weekly this week, something a little bit different for you. We're delighted now to be joined by Bromley FC commercial manager Emma Santa. Emma, thanks for your time today. We're going to talk a little bit about the executive club, which obviously operates on home match day. How's it been so far this season?
Well, since we've come out of lockdown and we've been able to have crowds, we've had a massive massive increase in the support in the exec club, from individuals wanting to come along with a couple of friends to businesses that have booked full tables.
And obviously it's not just for sponsors, as you say there. Anyone who wants to book a table can do so, can't they?
That's correct. We've had birthday parties, celebrations, just families just wanting a day out at the football, as well as companies wanting to entertain their guests.
So upon arrival at the stadium on an exec club day, can you tell us a little bit about the things that people should expect in the exec club experience?
Yeah, so on arrival, there's a bar waiting for you, or tea and coffee if you prefer to have a hot drink, especially in the winter. We serve the food. If it's a Saturday, we'll serve the food at 1:30. We have a player interview, so we'll have one or two of the players being interviewed by yourself, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then a bit later on, we have the manager interview. He'll go through the players and what he expects from the game. Then you have a two-course meal, so it's a main course with a dessert, and then at halftime it's cheese and biscuits, followed by tea and coffee, and again the bar is open for the whole duration.
And another interview and man of the match presentation at full time as well?
Yeah, that's correct. We have a man of the match, so either a sponsor or supporter actually chooses man of the match. And then, again, yourself does the presentation with that person or that business.
Indeed. And the Boxing Day game in itself is really something we're all looking forward to, isn't it? And we know the supporters are as well. Football for a fiver. But there is actually still some space in the exec club for you to enjoy that in real style, isn't there?
Yes, we have up to 120 people in the room, so it is a nice atmosphere up there, and we've actually got two or three tables still to fill. So if anybody wants to book a shared table or book a table for their family or business, then please get in touch.
And how would people book the table, just for anyone listening who might be interested?
They need to get hold of my colleague Ben Haywood, and his email is ben.haywood, Hayward, at bromleyfc.co.uk.
And you can also reach Ben on the club phone 0208 460 5291 and then press the events extension. Emma, thank you so much.
No problem.
Great to hear from Emma there, Matt. Obviously, moving back to First Team Affairs now, obviously, we're off up to Altrincham.
We are indeed, and there is a supporters coach going to that one. I must stress that it's not too late to get your place booked on the coach if you're listening to this on the Friday evening. There are still spaces available. Go to our website, bromleyfc.co.uk. But yeah, of course, we're running a supporters coach for that one, so I'll see some of you on that if you're travelling up as well. And I'm sure it's going to be an entertaining game, obviously. The team will want to get back-to-back victories, and they'll be striving for that. It is going to be a tough game. It's a tough place to go, of course, with Bromley recording a 1-0 victory last year thanks to an early James Alabi goal. It was a really tough game that evening.
Was there a sending off that night?
There was. Ben Williamson got sent off. Straight red card, which is very unlike him. Yeah.
How funny is that? That stuck in my head and not the goal.
Yeah, how strange. Yes, obviously Rico Hackett-Fairchild playing a big part in that goal. I think Josh has put it up on the social channels earlier this week, the replays of that goal. And actually, Billy Bingham had a goal disallowed in the second half, if you remember, Jeff, which was seemed like a perfectly legitimate goal, but for some reason it was disallowed.
Very strange night. That was during COVID, wasn't it?
It was. It was a weird atmosphere.
No one was allowed in, yet there was about 100... Yeah. 100 Altrincham people in the stand.
It was an odd experience, but nevertheless, we're very much looking forward to the trip tomorrow, and fingers crossed for a positive result.
Obviously, as ever, Matt, you've managed to catch up with manager Andy Woodman ahead, and here's what he had to say.
It was an interesting game Saturday, Andy, but as you said, it's all about getting back to winning ways, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very important for us to get a win on the board, you know, after the two defeats, albeit in different circumstances, both of those. Just to get back on winning ways is very important for us if we're going to maintain where we are. That's why I love that boy.
It's brilliant, isn't he?
He's that top drawer, I love it.
And the dressing room's full of characters like that, isn't it?
Yeah, dressing room's buzzing at the moment. I mean, it has been all season, and I think, you know, when we've got the size of squad we have, success is going to be built on team spirit. So, and that's not just the players, it's the staff as well. So, really important.
And two standouts during that match, obviously Marcus Sablier and Jude Arthur's fantastic. And you've never been afraid to throw the young kids in during your time at the club so far, and it looks to be paying off.
Yeah, no, I think it's about throwing them in at the right time, making sure that you know, you don't flog them, and make sure they're playing with confidence. You know, and again, the older players in the group are really good at sort of making sure that they feel part of it. And look, if they're good enough, they're going to play. I'm looking forward to watching the youth team tonight, and looking for the next gems out of that game tonight that are going to be hopefully making the jump into our team at some point.
And they've been brilliant, haven't they, the young players? You know, you look at the under-18s, the under-23s. I know you've been down to watch a lot of those games. The talent really is there, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to say that the talent is top drawer. You know, and I think we should probably give a lot of credit to the coaching team down there that have put hours into make sure the boys understand how we're going to try and sort of implement our playing style throughout the sort of age groups up into the first team. So and they've done that really well. So that makes them even easier for us to put them in because they're ready. You know, not only you know, technically ready, but they understand what we're trying to achieve on the pitch.
And there are probably a few of them knocking on the door already, aren't there?
Yeah, there is, and they'll play. You know, I've got no qualms in playing these boys if they're good enough and they're ready. They'll play, and I think it's important, you know, that the other ones that are not quite in the team, they see these boys playing and they're itching and chomping at the bit to get in there. So it's a nice sort of it's a nice setup we've got, you know, in place at the moment, and hopefully we can keep building on it.
And we talked post match on Saturday about how actually the Christmas period is probably the busiest, isn't it, of the year?
Yeah, it's always busy at Christmas. I mean, I love it, to be honest. I've never known any different, you know, so it'd be no different here from where I've been at the other levels I've worked at, and I think the players like it, to be honest. I really enjoy it, so I'm relishing the Christmas period, and it's an important time though as well, because it can really make or break, you know, you go into the new year if you can hit the ground running on this Christmas period when everyone else might be just taking their focus off, then we can sort of kick on a little bit.
And the next challenge of that, I should say, is a trip away to Altrincham, another long trip, another supporters coach going, and the fans are going to be as important as ever, aren't they?
They'll be great, yeah. I mean, this is fair play to them travelling up on the day and supporting us, and hopefully we can give them something to cheer about. you know, we're looking forward to it. I mean, look, there's no game we go into not, you know, not fancying ourselves to win, and we go into every game trying to win it, obviously. And yeah, we're looking forward to hitting our wits against a good technical Altrincham team that play good football. So it'd be a good game, I think.
Well, we'll catch you afterwards. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you,
Matt. Obviously, always good to hear from Andy there. For those not making the trip, you're going to be live on commentary?
We are indeed, myself and Dan Bentley, live on Mixlr from about 2:50 tomorrow afternoon, so you can join us. The article with the link to the commentary will be up on the website, and that will be shared across social media as well beforehand, and hopefully this time we're not going to be 20 minutes late to the game and we will be able to commentate from the start.
That was Rexham, wasn't it?
That was a strange experience, wasn't it, hearing about the sending off on the coach and not being there to see it and relying on information that fans had told us in the stand, etc., and actually some people not making it at all to the game, unfortunately, for various travelling issues. But yeah, looking forward to it.
Somehow, Matt, we've played our last home game before Christmas.
We have, before Christmas Day, yes. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Obviously, with the FA trophy draw pitting us away to Dover Athletic, we won't be at home until Boxing Day. And of course, Jeff, it's not just any old normal Boxing Day clash.
What a Boxing Day.
Oh, yes, it is, isn't it? Absolutely. 5:20 kick-off, BT Sport. But best of all,
forget that. It's football for a fiver.
Absolutely, forget that.
It's cheaper than BT Sport.
Football for a fiver and kids for a quid. And
yeah, $16.99 a month for BT.
Well, there we go.
Outrageous.
You could get a family of three and a kid for that. Couldn't you? Three adults and a kid. So we're really looking forward to that one. It's sure to be a bumper crowd on the day. So
three adults and six kids, because it's two kids per adult.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There we go. That's
big family.
That's my knowledge. Anyway, it's going to be a fantastic day. The numbers are already going very, very well. So make sure you're part of that.
Exclusive. We're over 1,600 already.
Wow,
yeah.
Are we? That is incredible.
Absolutely brilliant.
Unbelievable. Come on down, get behind the team and make some noise on the day, and hopefully we can get another positive result in front of the cameras again.
That'd be absolutely superb. Tickets online over on the website, bromleyfc.co.uk.
Get them now before they're gone.
I'd like to think we'd sell out. And I think given whatever potential other restrictions and stuff might happen and get announced, I think there'll be some kind of limit with regards to the crowd, won't there?
Yes, possibly.
So yeah, so please do, if you're planning on coming, and again, do everything you can. Persuade your friends, your family, whoever you're stuck with this. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say that, should I stuck with? But whoever you're enjoying Christmas with, get them all out on Boxing Day. It's only a fiver. Kids go free. It'd be absolutely fantastic to get our record-breaking crowd of the season. We're certainly well on our way to that already, but it'd be great to get everybody behind us. And like you say, Matt, hopefully extend that Christmas joy a couple of extra days.
Absolutely. And then, of course, we do have, after that, the trip to Maidenhead on the 28th. And then, of course, a return trip to Southend on the 2nd.
Yeah, they're doing all for a fiver, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Apparently,
as well.
We're partnering with them.
Oh.
News to me.
Oh, interesting.
I just thought they took our idea.
Well, it was a great idea, wasn't it? There we go. Come on down, get behind the team on that day. And, of course,
Stan Collymore's there, isn't he?
He is, yes. Big up to all of you who are travelling to Altrincham, and of course to Dover before that as well. That's it, I think, isn't it, Jeff? We've run out of things to talk about now.
No, honestly, thank you very much for putting up with us for another week.
Indeed.
Hopefully we'll hang on in there to make it 100 episodes and we'll do something special. But obviously no promises, because we tend to deal on those sorts of promises. But as ever, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to tune in to Matt tomorrow for those not able to make the Altrincham trip. And we'll see you again next week.
All the best.
The champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town.